Yo, guys, what's going on? Hello.
Yo.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We are back after a 2 week hiatus. Was it 2 weeks?
Something it was like, a 1 week.
Yeah,
hiatus.
A 1 week hiatus. Yeah. Okay, so it did feel like 2 weeks.
Numbers are hard.
Kelly was.
Kelly was indisposed.
You.
Yes, I definitely was.
Yeah, yeah. Feel so you had a little bit
Kelly
of a
was
back
sick
thing.
And frankly, all of us are completely useless without Kelly. So
yeah.
Yeah, we actually.
Great, Kelly.
We determined that.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Let's.
Yes,
you're very important. So let's just kind of go. This is what happened. All right, Kelly's like, I'm not feeling well. I can't do this. We're like, okay, we can figure this out. We'll have.
Yeah.
Just something crappy though.
Yeah.
Just really shitty stuff.
And I think that kind of escalated. Not feeling well to.
Panic.
Gallbladder needs to come out. I'm literally dying.
I'm,
and then back up to gallbladder.
Yeah, right.
I felt.
Right.
Right. As someone who's had his gallbladder out, gallbladders, fuck gallbladders, that's all I can say. They don't do anything. I think everyone should have their gallbladder removed.
Well,
so,
mine has a party in my pants.
Yeah.
That,
No,
so, for
if
real.
If you have gallbladder issues, trust me, buddy, you know it.
Right. So, yeah. They, we decided that we could invite Jason onto the podcast and just do it because it's what we do.
Yep.
So we came home and I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to hook everything up. And I got all this stuff mixed around and fucking hooked up and I'm ready. And Eric's over here testing things out with me. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, for some reason, the drivers, it's ASIO drivers. For mixers just doesn't work very well on PC. Or if it does, I personally don't know how to do it.
Sounds to me like those drivers are just being a big ass, yo.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what they were doing.
Yep.
So we spent a little bit of time trying to figure it out. And at the end of it, I said, I cannot do this anymore. This is, it's just not going to work. I remember why we used his Apple, to record this. And we just kind of
unless
up.
You have the right drivers, apples are just all around for beginning people who are like beginning to record and stuff like that. As far as like audio goes,
yeah,
they're just a lot easier.
I don't want to say that that's right the in. Case because you know how I feel about Apple.
Yeah,
but you're
Apple
you're not
is
wrong.
Great,
you're not wrong.
Select things.
It, if you're like an idiot,
yeah,
I mean like that's like. Kind of like us beating around the bush. If you don't want to have to think about how to do anything.
No. Yeah, it just kind of does it for you. Yep. Although, I tried to simply install a program on an Apple, what is this called? Is it just called a Mac?
A Mac. An iMac.
It's an iMac desktop, whatever. Yep. I tried to simply just install a program on it. And it did not work. I couldn't figure out how to install it. Evidently, you have to drag some folder that downloads into this other folder, and then it, like, extracts it for some reason. Why can't you just fucking double-click it like you can on a Windows? I don't know how that shit works. So I gave up, and I'm going to let you do all the work.
That's fine. That's what I'm
hoping,
here for.
I'm hoping we still need you, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that we can figure out enough to be able to just do the podcast if you're not here,
guys. Like,
because right now you have to be here, so we will strap you down next time if we absolutely need to. Right?
Fine.
I don't care if your gallbladder.
This turned kinky real quick, guys.
So I'm gonna go into work mode for a second here. I'm still logged into Cisco.
Wait,
oh,
at
that
work?
Sucks. Yeah.
That means you're still working?
No, it means technically I am logged into the phone system.
Oh wait, is that gonna hurt your times?
Oh yeah.
Oh well.
What do they do about that?
I don't know.
It's all relative.
I'm pretty sure like they'll label it as like an outlier, and then they may not count it. I don't know. But
yeah. Cisco and for some reason I thought of Cisco Inferno, and I'm like, what is that? It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just horseshit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would laugh.
I thought of the thong song.
The thong song. Oh, Cisco. Yeah. Okay. I think. I don't think you're going to get in trouble for that. They'll just negate that amount of. They just negate that amount of time.
Yeah,
I feel like.
But yeah.
So, but phone are, when you're on the system, does it still allow phone calls to come through and just sit there and wait?
No.
Okay, so that's okay.
Basically, it toggles between you're ready, which means you're ready to take calls, so calls come through.
Like an idle mode.
Yeah, and then there's like a not ready state, which means calls won't come through. Which is kind of reserved for like if you're doing a project or if you have to spend a couple minutes doing something. But basically, on a scale of like 100%, like 100% being like you're ready all the time.
Right.
Like there is a certain threshold to where like if you fall below, like if you're not ready 20% of the time or more, then it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, what are you?
Right. You're, you're not taking this,
it's called work avoidance.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
shouldn't
exactly
be doing
what
that.
They label
so
it as.
So basically, if I just sit not ready for the next 12 hours. Then, I don't know. Yeah, actually, I don't know what's gonna happen.
You think
so,
that if you,
tomorrow's gonna be a big surprise for me?
In all honesty, you think that if you were in like that state for X amount of time, it would just boot you over?
Actually,
to turning it off.
They WFM has tools that should be able to just kick you out of Cisco.
Yeah.
So you might come in and just be kicked out of Cisco anyways.
Yeah.
So you could,
yeah,
could
that's what
just
I'm thinking.
Be fine.
Yep. It like there's like an idle thing.
Yep. Everyone's learning about my work. Exciting time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm always curious about. I mean, I've worked at places like that, you know, that use Cisco, and I've always been intrigued on how the whole system works. It's fun. That sounds weird. Because it's not
a money Cisco.
It's not that fun, but it's interesting on how it actually works.
Yep.
Anyway, we should get back to gaming because phone systems at work is not that fun.
Yeah, I know.
It's not.
A lot of stuff happened this week, man.
A lot of stuff.
Dude, seriously.
So let's go ahead and start with what we're playing.
Okay.
You're playing Borderlands, getting ready for Borderlands. Ew, you're playing the pre-sequel?
I am, because I already beat the first and second one. I'm playing the pre-sequel.
Okay.
I've got to let you know that... do you want me to talk about it right now?
What,
yeah.
Pre-sequel?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I'll go... If you don't stop me, I'm going to go into it. So I'm actually really intrigued by it for a couple different reasons. It's not as dark as the first two are because it's a newer type game. So everything's a little more polished and bright. And I love that. It looks really cool. The guns suck really bad compared
to the first two. I could have told you that.
It takes you 100% more bullets to kill anything, which kind of sucks, but it's fun at the same time, I guess.
Yep.
The bad guys move way more than just sitting in one spot and just taking it. You know what I mean? And it kind of sucks, but it doesn't at the same time. The extra thing that you have to worry about is your oxygen, because your oxygen completely like runs out constantly, but you also use it for all the boosts that you do. I'm okay that that's a thing, but I forget about it.
Yep.
Until it's
too late.
And then I usually die.
Yep. So the oxygen is kind of like a that gameplay mechanic is prevalent throughout the whole game. Because I only played the first like 20 or 30 minutes of the game. And I was kind of hoping that was one of those things where it's just like, oh yeah, here's a gameplay mechanic we'll introduce at the beginning of the game and then completely forget about it an hour later and you never have to think about it again.
It's like life. You have to worry about three bars. You have to worry about your shield, which regenerates if you're not being shot at. You have to worry about your life bar, which does not regenerate unless you have something that regenerates it. And then your oxygen, if you're out on the planet itself, there's these like weird like oxygen things that come out of the ground that you get in and it refills it. There's not a massive amount of them, but there are a decent amount. But you can also get oxygen from hitting rocks and then killing bad guys. So you have to worry about life and oxygen the most. Oxygen's probably number one, because when you run out, your vision starts getting a little messed up.
Right.
And then you start losing your life bar. And when you go in a building, you're fine, obviously. When you go out of the building, you're not fine. So I find myself dying a lot because you can also use this oxygen boost. You tap X, you tap it again, and you do like this little jetpack boost thing.
Yeah.
Well, that uses the oxygen. And it can kill you. You can also revive people a little bit quicker on like an oxygen revive, which is cool. But if you keep forgetting it's there, it's going to cause you massive amount of problem.
Right. Well, I think it we can like, all pretty much
agree.
But
I'm having a good time.
I'm pretty sure that we can all agree that it sounds like Dave's having a good time, that's a yeah. really stupid system.
It's a really terrible
gameplay mechanic.
I hope they don't bring anything from pre-sequel except maybe some small things into number three.
I don't think they're planning to bring pretty much anything.
I think the oxygen system to me sounds like
resource management being included in a game that's already like totally chaotic, and like there's already so many things you have to focus on. And I guess some people like that little bit of extra. I mean, that's probably why I stopped playing the pre-sequel after 20 minutes, even though I platinumed the first two games. Just, I don't know, I own it three times.
Pickle
my pick.
Right. I played it none. Oh, I'm sorry. I played it one.
I own it one time. Won't play it.
Yep. So, the end.
The end.
And Catherine Fawadi came out. When? 2 days ago. One day ago.
Yes,
yesterday.
The third.
And that's what you're playing.
Yeah. Eric and I are both playing.
Eric okay. and
there
Kelly
the
are
box right there.
In love with Catherine.
That. Is that the porn box? Yes. Is there like a threesome going on that thing?
Yeah, that's the porno box, yeah.
Is that the version you got?
Yeah, like that is the version. Licking nice. Each other and stuff?
Yeah, we both got the nice collector's edition.
Take it all
comes
off.
Comes with the dope steel book and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. That's right, buddy. Yeah, I'm gonna show you guys Catherine's full body right now.
You're about to see a nude
check
woman.
Check out this fucking steel book.
Hey, hold it right there. I'm almost done.
Yep.
I'm fucking dope.
Dave's done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great.
And one of my favorite parts is this art book. Because
art
book equals spank bank when you're talking about Catherine. But I'm flipping through. I'm like,
wrong.
okay, Catherine characters. Okay, that's all good. Yeah, nothing weird or out of the ordinary here. What the fuck is Joker doing there?
What the hell? Isn't he from Persona?
He's from Persona. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I did it.
The very basics of that game.
You know what the protagonist looks like.
That's right.
Congratulations.
I only played him for 10 seconds and I saw who has him on his background for PS4?
Nice.
You.
I did for
a while.
Yep.
Okay,
I also
I remember his face from that, is what I remember his
face
from.
I also did, yes.
Yeah, I actually...
I've got Cyberpunk now.
Yeah, I had Cyberpunk, but I got two really cool free themes from buying Control that are dynamic themes.
Yep.
So...
Dude,
I know Eric's probably got Final Fantasy VIII.
Obviously.
Nice. Okay, so who wants to tell us about Catherine? I want to hear a little bit more about the gameplay. I've never seen it
Eric actually would be... probably better to introduce this, as this is actually my first introduction into Catherine gameplay, so he's a little bit more seasoned as far as like the original goes.
Yeah, the game originally came out in 2011, I think, 2011 or 2012. I got the game right when it came out, just because it piqued my interest, and I had actually never played any Atlus games before that, so that was my introduction to that brand, and I got into Persona inadvertently from playing Catherine. Yeah, it almost started as like a tech demo of the engine that they were building for Persona 5, and it kind of grew legs and became its own game. But it's just fucked up. It's core gameplay. It's a puzzle game. Like, it's just a block moving puzzle game, like fucking Pushmo or whatever. Like.
Like romantic dating simulator. Yeah.
Weird.
It is really fucking weird.
Yeah.
It seems like just avant-garde enough so that I'm pretty sure maybe if Dave played it, he might think it's kind of cool and keep playing it.
I don't know.
That
he
might just be me being optimistic.
One of these days when you come over,
to bring
it with you.
To say
I want to look at it. I want to watch it stream too. You're going to stream it, right?
Dave might like it more than Persona 5, that's for sure.
I think I agree with that. I think Dave will like it more than Persona 5. I do think that, first of all, and I don't mean this as an insult, Dave, but you'll probably want to play it on easy because the game is fucking hard. Like that, the puzzles are no joke in it.
But what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that I started the game on normal my first time. I only made it like three stages in before I dropped it to easy on my first playthrough. Like I can play through on normal.
I'm gonna
and
say
hard
what,
I will fight that TV screen you're on right now. I will fight it.
I'm just saying the game will piss you the fuck off is all I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
So, yeah.
I played it on normal and I died a lot. But because I'm so stubborn, I just kept it on normal and kept getting angry that I was dying and couldn't figure out why.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why, like but when... I just wouldn't drop it
right
down.
Right. No, that makes sense. I almost rage quit on Borderlands Pre-Sweet Sequel because I couldn't jump on this little tiny cliff. So yep.
Pretty if I can't sweet do something, Will, bro.
What?
What'd pretty sweet Quill, bro.
So if I can't jump on a simple cliff on easy, yeah, you're right. Maybe you know, for the sake
but,
of
and even in the full body version that wasn't in the original, but I saw while Kelly was streaming it. It has like a feature now where if you die so many times, it has like an autoplay mode to where like if you just want to cut to like the dialogue in the story, like you can basically skip the puzzles now. Like you can let the game play the puzzles by itself.
So if you really just want to see the titties.
Yeah.
I do.
And there are anime titties to be seen. They're glorious.
I saw some in Primal. I mean, Far Cry Primal.
Those are not anime titties. Those are Neanderthal titties.
Yeah.
Very different thing.
I was okay with it.
Like, for example, Kelly's got anime titties. You've got Neanderthal titties.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
I have Neanderthal anime purpose. Titties.
Have a great night.
Oh, shit. So, okay. So you're... Kelly, let's go over to Control.
Yeah.
That game wasn't really under the radar, but it wasn't as hyped as other things have been.
There's like a niche group of people that are super, super hyped about Control because the big thing about Control on PCs, it's like it supports like massive ray tracing. So this game on PC looks amazing, I guess, compared to like consoles. It looks pretty bad on PlayStation.
Isn't it the version of Alan Wake?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Isn't it by the devs that did Alan Wake?
Yes.
Alan Wake?
Yep, right. The Alan Wake
series. I know
series.
Alan Wake had a huge fan base that was like ready for them to make a new game. Basically.
Yeah, so it's got that niche fan base that Alan Wake did.
I'm actually learning a lot of things right now. I'm pretty sure the most surprising thing is that I've learned is that Alan Wake had a fan base. That is out of everything that I've just heard the most surprising thing by like a wide margin.
Yeah, you're saying now I know who Alice is. I've heard the name, I've seen the name. But it's definitely something I play. Alan Wake.
Yep.
It's something I play when I desert island and I've got nothing else to play. I don't go looking for it, but
I've actually got the game on Steam and the American Nightmare. It's part of a Humble bundle or something. So.
Well, didn't they pull it from is that the one that they pulled from stores?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was
due
the
to
one
some
they
sort
pulled
of licensing issues.
Yeah.
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 Or
so
who
they
owned
pulled
the copyrights to
so
it.
So they ended
know.
Up giving it out for free very, very briefly before it was actually pulled. And that's when I got it. But it looked fun. It just wasn't my type of game.
Something about a guy with a flashlight and something about books. I don't know. Yeah.
Let me tell you though that
too many flashlights. Come on, guys.
As obscure as Control is, like the gameplay for one is amazing.
Yeah.
Why does she look like she had a nice tight little booty?
too.
In the outfit that I have on, yeah. You know,
really,
you sick Black son Widow. Of a bitch.
Why would I not take advantage of that?
is this anime? Anime thongs, anime lingerie.
This is the pervert weeb hour,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
There's always that one awkward old guy that just always plays a female character. And like every no. See, the funny thing is,
that's definitely me.
I never play female characters.
Dude.
Ever.
I've played so many male.
I lied.
I play
the siren.
Yeah, well, yeah. See? Yeah, no, but
dude.
Like
perv.
Yeah. Where's the camera? This one.
That's him.
Right here. I mean,
that's okay. I mean, my character in Monster Hunter World is
female character. Yeah. I am playing the siren and I do love the I got this like naughty professor look on B2 and I'm totally into that.
I just like I've played so many male characters in my time playing video games that have a really, really good female lead is kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
In a sense.
It is. I agree.
So
okay, no wait, hold on. There's a difference between a female lead and then you have an option between a female and a male.
Yes. Yeah. I mean in Control you're forced into that female
right.
lead.
So I love female leads, don't get me wrong. I love the female leads. Aloy is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's
Aloy.
Such an
yeah.
Aloy. Sorry. I keep doing that.
Yeah.
I deal with a lot of metals at work. So, but anyway, great characters, amazing, strong, awesome, beautiful.
Yep.
Sexy cosplays. Yep. Moonlight walks on the beach. Anyway, so but if it comes between choices when I'm playing a game, it's almost always just a male lead. So, I don't put myself in one of those creepy old dude categories.
I switch
back and forth. It depends on my mood.
That
sometimes
kind of brings
I'll
me to
when my wife's not home, I use the females.
See, now...
honestly, it doesn't even have anything to do with that.
If I have the choice to, like, create my own character, like, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a male lead.
Mm-hmm.
But I do just have such a... lead in video games.
Fetish activated.
A thing.
Or you know what?
A thing.
He just likes to jerk it.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a specific...
I know.
It's fine.
I do it all day.
It's fine.
It's a natural thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
Lord
maybe
Croft.
Not the way that we do it. Yeah.
There's
Lord
nothing...
Croft and that high kick. I will always go back to that. That was...
That actually kind of...
That was FAP of the 90s, dude.
That actually kind of like touches on like a news topic that came across my old peepers the other day. That the removing gender options from Cyberpunk 2077.
The fuck?
Wait, what do you mean?
They're getting rid of the option to be a male or a female.
As someone... Kind of explain this to all of you, because I've been following all of this really close.
I have questions, too.
Please, take it away.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll defer to your expertise. Yep.
Right.
Definitively a male or definitively a female. But if you wanted to be a dude with tits, you could have a dude with tits. You could have a dude's voice.
I'll take it.
You could have a man with a female's voice and so on and so forth. You
Give
know,
me a chick with
you
a penis.
As cisgender
yeah,
as
you
want.
Can, you can still,
exactly.
You can still
that's awesome.
Have those options.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they've eliminated
honestly, there should be more of that.
Just be a man or be a woman.
Yes.
Just
but
realized,
you can definitively have those characteristics
just
without the title.
I just realized.
But characters
like
will
that.
Still call you by
right.
his or by he or she if you are definitively
right.
a man or a woman. They don't mm-hmm. get rid of that. I think people are a little bit confused as to
right.
what CD Projekt Red was doing when they
Mostly
did that.
Homophobes are confused by it.
Yes.
Yeah. I just realized that we slowly crept into like dangerous territory.
Yeah.
And I like how we did that. That was great.
Yeah.
Well, now we just kind of ruined it by you calling attention to it.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
See, that's fine. That's no big deal.
You broke the fourth wall. You ruined it all, Dave.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh.
We
Holy
had a
shit.
Moment.
Time to pack it in.
Yeah.
Dave.
That's
what
it.
Are you
that's
do?
The end
you
of our
suck.
Podcasting career.
Now, are they going to allow us to? Are they going to allow us to change the sizes of?
Yeah.
Star appendages.
They'll allow you to change your body type and stuff like that. Yeah.
You can. I don't even want to talk about Conan, okay?
I'll tell you what. Moving that into that damn butt flap moves on purpose when there's no friggin' wind.
Yeah. To purposefully make you uncomfortable.
It's just. There it is.
Yeah. Flap it in the wind.
And you're running and it's just this thing.
Yeah.
But oh no, so.
That wasn't an accident.
So when I create. When I'm playing a game with a character creator, usually I'll start as a male character and I'll try to make him look like a more svelte version of myself.
Yeah.
But I think I've realized what it is. If there are no good beard options, I'll just make a woman instead. That's usually my go-to.
That is like the key.
No good beards. I'll just be a lady.
Characteristic. Yeah.
If you are you into speaking of great beard options in games, Ghost Recon. Did you ever play Ghost Recon?
I dabbled with it. I remember I played a little bit of Future
Soldier.
Something. Future Soldier, was that it?
I've
played just a very little bit of that.
Okay, so
and little bit of the original back on the OG Xbox, but that's
today I
OG
played,
Ghost Recon for life.
Today for the
OG
first time,
Ghost
I played
Recon.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint. And I will tell you that the beard options were. Phenomenal.
Well, of course. I mean,
they were great.
From the gameplay that I've seen, you were like crawling up a mountain with like a tank top and like a heavy SMG. I'm just like, this might
better have an
actually
epic beard.
Equal like Gears of War like testosterone level.
Yeah,
like,
it was
pretty sure that like I saw your character like chugging like a Mountain Dew.
Yeah. So I tried to make the character
eat a whole bag of Doritos
at a time.
And I'm pretty sure I heard him say Trump 2020.
Yeah.
I think I may have heard him say that.
So I tried to make the character look as close to me as possible, and it was awesome. It was actually really, really cool for what it was. Of course you had the mutton chops and all this other crap, but it was great. I really, really enjoyed it.
The environment looked great. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like it had an amazing scenery and backdrop. I haven't seen any gameplay.
Yeah, it was.
It
was cool.
I've been seeing, like, as a fan of Ghost Recon for, you know, OG Xbox, and then Ghost Recon 2 and Advanced Warfighter and Future Soldier or whatever the fuck
it's
called.
Future Soldier.
It just, I've seen them just straying further. And further and further from like the true heart of Ghost Recon, and I'm just like, okay, that's an amazing looking game.
Mm-hmm.
You literally call it anything the fuck else because it's not Ghost Recon.
Okay, so the one thing I like about this one in the very short amount of time very short amount of time I played this. The one thing I did notice when you crouch and you're laying on the ground, you can actually cover yourself. So you take mud and you like. Turn yourself into the mud, and then you grab the mud, and you just lather it all over your face.
I do that already.
And you hide.
I did it before I came inside.
I don't need to play a game to
you
do
almost
that.
Like hide down inside the mud, and it's really freaking cool. Another thing is it's not as... Wildlands was very Far Cry-ish.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it felt very Far Cry because of the way the mechanics were. And the movement and all this stuff. This one right here feels a little bit more Division.
Yeah.
And it feels more tactical.
It
which
definitely
is cool
does feel
Division
more tactical.
Division is way more tactical than, you know, Wildlands was.
And it should. It's Ghost Recon.
I've kind of said
so,
my.
So they're pushing towards
Wildlands,
something that just is. It just feels better. It feels more Ghost Recon type thing. Wildlands was very elastic. And
Wildlands
wonky
felt like they were trying to cram Grand Theft Auto and Metal Gear Solid 5 together, and it didn't make any sense. What the fuck so ever.
I did enjoy it because of the whole standards thing being really low, but it didn't feel.
I have been there. I myself know what low standards are.
It just didn't feel like it should have had the name Ghost Recon. It felt like it should have had Far Cry Tactical Edition. I mean, that's all it felt like.
Yep. It's literally what
and
it felt like.
And you almost did the same things you do in Far Cry. The mechanics were almost the same exact thing.
Call it Division in the Woods.
Division in the Woods.
Yep. Oh, wait a second. Thomas Dunville asked, is facial hair a requirement for Winter House Gaming? You bet your fucking ass it is, buddy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, Thomas.
We can all do
that's
this.
That's the only reason they let me on board.
Yeah, otherwise we would have declined Derek's submission.
Yep.
Has to be more than half inch long.
I'm actually going to get myself just shave everything and give myself a pedo stash.
Is that like a facial?
Yeah.
They call that a facial.
I'm going to give myself a facial. Live on Winter House Gaming.
Yeah.
After dark.
Tony receives a facial.
Yep.
So it actually is funny that we just all have beards, but you got to understand we're all pretty much Mainers at this point. Thomas is not a Mainer.
I love my flannel at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, my flannel's
at home,
too.
You know, it's September. It's getting cold. So, we can get away with it now.
It's true. Going back to Ghost Recon and the flannel thing, you can get these different types of backpacks.
Yeah.
The things you can add to yourself is actually really cool. Different knives, backpacks. You can get full arm tattoos, which look great.
I was actually taking a look at the character customization when I first got over here, and I have to say, it actually is quite impressive compared to any other game they've done so far.
Yeah.
Really anything that Ubisoft has done with any of these games at this point.
It was a very large amount. It'll give you plenty of stuff to do. So with the backpack, you have different types of backpacks. Then you have...
Backpacks.
Packbacks.
Yep. Got it? Okay.
And then you can change the color on them. I saw a flannel one. I'm like, yeah, I want that. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm a Mainer.
Yep.
If
you see flannel, and the first thought you have is, I'm going to buy that, then you must be a Mainer.
This thing was that basic plaid that everything is up here.
Yeah.
Everyone has a button-up plaid flannel.
Of course.
I know you do.
I'm the one person
I've got about
Florida that wears those.
Yes. Like, yeah, I have
they're ready and raring to go. Exactly. I folded them. I washed them. They're all nice and neat and clean. And
dude, as soon as that October chill
hangers.
Hits the air.
Yep. Every day I wake up and I look at my big closet full of flannels and I say,
wait until October
one
hits.
Week.
Yes.
It's actually a little bit nipply. I might go home and put one on. Put one over my Darth Vader footy pajamas.
Yeah. Then when you go outside and you see the symbol on the cloud, you come back in, you change into the flannel, you feel like a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that. I get that.
Yeah.
We're Mainers. That's why.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course, being that I'm a Mainer at heart, even though I live in Florida, I love my flannels.
Whatever. You're a Floridian.
You love your what? Jumpsuits?
You love your hurricanes and your fucking,
I'm the only person in Florida that wears flannel shirts, even though I only have like 1 week of the entire fucking year that I can wear it.
January?
I bet you $100 that if you go to Zephyr Hills, you're going to see a whole bunch of snowbirds wearing flannel. You would feel right at home. You're going to be like, oh, yes, the color of my people.
Yes.
The color of my people.
What color is that, you racist fuck?
No, it's like... it's like black.
Would that be?
You just pigeonholed Dave bad.
I'm talking about the shirt, the red and black basic plaid flannel look. That's the color of his people.
You just pigeonholed Dave so bad.
And if you want to be really, really cool, like a deep,
tread lightly, sir.
Like a deep northern Aroostook County, they've got the black and the white ones.
Maybe like one black one.
You can
black
point those
one.
Out because they're actually not even like actively like it's like an open carry, but it's just like a bottle of Allen's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. It's all Allen's.
Yeah.
Fucking coffee brandy. If anybody's listening to this and you're not from Maine.
Hey,
don't drink
for those
brandy.
Who like coffee and those who like alcohol. Jägermeister is coming out with a cold brew fucking liquor,
a spiked cold brew coffee that's 33% alcohol.
Oh my god, dude!
I
in Maine,
need it.
Yeah,
everywhere,
everywhere.
We never get cool
in
things
the world.
Like that.
Yeah.
Damn, is it gonna be in like a massive bottle?
It's gonna be like in a bottle like that,
like a
backpack.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Like literally,
they would buy it. Especially if it comes
literally
with flannel. He just can't shut up about backpack.
Tony brings it to work. Tony, you realize this is an alcoholic beverage. You can't have this at work.
It's
shut
coffee.
Up.
Yeah, you leave me alone, buddy.
And then they'll be like,
literally,
what the fuck
cold
you still
brew
logged into Cisco?
And Jägermeister,
like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Are my two favorite drinks in the world. So
yep.
I'm all in.
So Eric,
all of
we're
us
gonna,
show
we're
up
gonna,
in the next podcast hammered.
So the great thing I like is that we're talking about games that at least two of us kind of like can resonate with. Like Eric and Kelly resonated with Catherine. Kelly and Dave kind of resonated with Ghost Recon. Now we're kind of hitting on a topic that
time for that Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, Eric and I can resonate with Final Fantasy VIII, having been longtime fans. The remaster just came out. Two days ago. I keep thinking that today's
one. Yeah, it came out the same day that Catherine did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you and I have logged some hours into it. Have we not?
We have.
Yeah. What do you think? Initial thought so far?
As far as, okay, so Final Fantasy VIII is one of my favorite RPGs, one of my favorite games. Shit, it's probably my favorite Final Fantasy game of all time. I love Final Fantasy VIII.
Yep.
As far as the remaster goes, it's kind of hit and miss. It's mostly wonderful. I have been absolutely loving revisiting it, but the remaster has a couple like little niggling issues.
Tony, you want to hit on this? You showed me a picture earlier, it was weird. It was hysterical,
janky issue. Granted, yeah. It's only one of two times I've experienced.
It looked hilarious, though.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
Where I was,
I hope it becomes a meme.
For those of you, I could probably make it a meme.
Yeah.
For those of you who have played through Final Fantasy VIII and are kind of familiar with the lingo, so when you're at the garden right after you come back, I think from doing your seed mission, Cid and Quistis and Squall are all kind of in the main hall, and Cid, he looks like he's seen better days, because his texture has been completely demastered.
Downgraded.
And he is just a pixelated mess. But it's only in that one particular instance.
It turns
in
one particular instance, he's pixelated Bukkake.
Yep.
Yeah. Normally it looks great.
Well there.
And what is your theory? What's your hot take on that, Eric? Derek O'Connelly?
Yes.
It's like the
Hold
guy.
On, let me get my corn cob pipe so I can look real intellectual.
Do it
here with a hot scoop.
I
want to
hear this,
Eric.
I
want to
hear this. I want to hear this in the form of the reporter from Family Guy. Okay, go.
Shit. What? How does he sound?
He looks like shit.
Right. And that's all he says.
He looks like shit.
I'm at the wrong airport.
But
sorry, go ahead.
No, what it looks like to me is that in that specific instance, which it doesn't make any sense to me why it would only happen in this one moment in the game, but then never again. It looks like Cid's model was rendered as part of the background of that specific scene.
Which to me is just so weird, as he's part of the main scene.
Yeah, because he's not moving or anything in that scene. He's standing perfectly still. Even if you talk to him, he doesn't move.
Yeah.
But like, the backgrounds, one of the things with the Final Fantasy VIII remaster is the character models look beautiful. Even though they like kind of changed the art direction a little
and
bit of it,
with
they look amazing.
And with pre-rendered backgrounds, it was definitely a product of its time. And you can't really do much to change those. They're pretty much locked in and ironclad.
Oh,
and
I mean,
forever.
With a pre-rendered background, all you can do really is just kind of try and smooth it out.
Grit your teeth and bear it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And listen,
they put some nice filters on it to smooth it out as much as possible.
Right.
Yep. But there is still like a pretty big disconnect between like these beautiful, like high def rendered models with like these blurry backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's far from a deal breaker. The game's still amazing.
Yeah.
But like, it is a noticeable thing. A couple other little graphical glitches I've had. I had one part where I went into the menu and left the menu real quick, and my cursor stayed on the screen. Like, you know, the little hand.
Oh, weird.
Hand cursor.
Oh,
it just
weird.
Stuck on the screen, like in a random like point, like in the middle of the screen, and it wouldn't go away until I restarted the game.
Wow. Thanks.
Kind of
weird.
And then also during the train heist scene. I don't know if this happened to you, Tony, but like the character models were stuttering like crazy, like while they're like on top of the train.
Well,
Okay, yeah, that is a very detailed description.
Eric, did
like
you,
that.
Did you a ghoul?
I didn't notice.
What's that say? I can't read that.
Said the connection is unstable.
Oh, yeah.
But that, now it went away.
Yeah, wow. That's okay. Yep. Okay.
That's fine.
Must be by an edema.
I was just about to make that reference.
I know you were, Eric, because we're the funny. Same
so
fucking person.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds funny.
They just have a song called Untable.
Oh.
The end. That's
literally
like
that
the entire
easy.
Story.
Yeah.
That's okay. The joke.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think. Oh. Is that a dabbable moment?
I think for you, every moment
sure.
is dabbable.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Just dab through the whole podcast.
I did not, did not notice the stuttering that you mentioned, but
yeah.
A weird tiny nudge of a graphical issue is that when I was playing as Laguna and I was kind of at the hotel area, I paused my game and just the word pause just kind of reverted back to that old PS1, very pixelated, just like just the word pause. And I'm just
that's
like,
awesome.
This is very strange. Everything
like,
is amazing. Except
you're
that,
like,
that
out of everything,
thing.
They like took that one word and did not.
Well, it's like an
and it was just the word time. I unpaused it and paused it, and everything went back to normal.
It's like a noticeable eyesore, but you're like, it's so recognizable.
Yep.
But I don't know if I'm mad about it or not.
Also, other not even like graphical issues or errors like with how the game runs. It's just notable lack thereof. You know, it was a design choice. No analog support.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And no rumble.
No rumble.
Yeah. Which, you know, whatever.
No
like,
analog support?
I mean, it's no true analog support. It's okay. Kind of like they gave it the Final Fantasy IX treatment, where they kind of like ported it from like the mobile version of the game.
Right.
And
okay.
It was just kind of god awful.
Yeah.
Like, it.
It's not great.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
But
that
is it,
well.
It's just a little frustrating. It's like 8-directional movement. Like I mean, you know, you can control with the analog stick, but it's 8-directional, like with a D-pad. Which when Final Fantasy VII came to PS4, that wasn't an issue because with Final Fantasy VII, it was designed with 8-direction movement in mind. You know,
right?
Analog sticks weren't a thing when VII came out.
Yeah,
no.
But
that was
by
on the original DualShock controller.
Yeah. 8 was designed around analog movement. So there are sometimes where there's like a hallway that you're going down. And since you, with analog movement, you could run straight down the hallway. Whereas without it, like if you push up, you're kind of going diagonally. And then if you
like
push up
this?
Diagonal left, you're kind of going diagonally the other way. So you have like zigzag across the hallway.
Yep.
And it's not a big deal. It's just a little irritating when analog movement was in the original game. Rumble was in the original game, and this is supposed to be like the definitive version, and
right.
It's lacking those.
I guarantee you, they'll add those to the hot fixes. Yeah. At least Rumble.
So how
anyway.
Much? How much is the game?
Yeah. $20.
It's $20.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to tell
which
you,
which is totally worth it.
That's totally worth it.
Absolutely. I honestly am thinking about buying it for Switch when I already own it for PS4.
But that's the
that's
thing.
How much I love.
I might
it.
Do that too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
For
like,
you guys, it'd be worth it for sure.
When they re-released, well, this one's obviously a remaster, right?
Yeah,
just a remaster. But even when they re-released Final Fantasy VIII for Vita, it was like almost I think $30 or $40.
I know.
And they released it after all these years. What the? I'm actually glad that a lot of these companies are pushing towards the $40 and less range. For a lot of these
remasters, yeah,
and remakes, because it just makes sense.
It's a good thing, like
it
you
is.
Know, especially for Final Fantasy VIII, where it's polished, but you know, you can only do so much with a pre-rendered background.
Right.
So it's not like they're telling you to pay $40 for.
It also is. I was actually, even though I was hoping for it, I was not optimistic that they were actually going to be able to come out with a remaster for Final Fantasy VIII, considering.
Yeah.
You know, the checkered history behind the game and the master of the game, which we've touched on before. For those of you who are kind of familiar with that saga, that they just after they, I think, what, like, kind of sold the master of the rights to Enix to release it for the PC.
Right.
They just kind of lost the master of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah. It's gone.
Yeah. It was just, and so I'm.
They had to rebuild it.
I 100% am like sure that they had to rebuild the vast majority of like the game.
Yeah.
And
how do you lose something like that?
And I'm assuming
so
that
precious.
I'm actually impressed by how well it did turn out, sans the graphical issues and the weird like kind of what's the word of what's the opposite of include exclusion
giggle wiggle
yep exactly that exclusions of some of the features because they basically almost I had to kind of maybe like go to the store, buy a copy of the game, and kind of just like backward or reverse engineer everything from that.
Yeah, which is insane. That must have been annoying.
But, you know, I'm sure they, I don't want to say they didn't mind it because I'm not Square Enix, but.
Right.
Yeah. And I even with
it to
the
weird
fans,
like, the fans fucking wanted it and they did it.
Yeah.
Do you want to know? Are you going to say something before I say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, even with like the weird like graphical glitches and stuff like that. It is worth noting, though, that it's a remaster of a PS1 game.
It's
like,
true.
You know, most HD remasters of like are of PS2 generation beyond.
Right.
Whereas most of like the PS1 remasters we've been getting have been like remakes.
Yeah.
You know, like
the
Crash
trilogy,
the Spyro trilogy.
Yeah, don't expect Spyro.
Crash Team Racing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were full on remakes.
Kinda love that.
There's
basically,
definitely
the
there's
PS1
a major
game.
Difference between the two.
This
people
is,
get them confused, but there's
I honestly can't think of any other instances in recent memory where they just like remastered a PlayStation 1 era game without like, you know,
completely
it. Overhauling
yeah.
it or whatever. And I mean, it held up pretty damn well, all things considered.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
you know, although, for the fact that it's $20 and, you know, it is the way that it is, I'll probably pick it up. This
For $20, yeah.
You would be remiss. Yeah. Because I although I do have to, Eric and I had this conversation, I think, yesterday, Eric? The inclusion of the ability to speed up the game by 3 times, it really, really gets rid of that grindy feeling of when you're drawing magic from enemies.
Right. Yeah.
It just doesn't make it feel like a chore at all. Although it still is a little bit of a chore. For example, like I've noticed that when I was in a battle when I had was Squall, Selphie, and Zell in my party.
Yeah.
When I was drawing with all three of them, it was a little bit of a pain in the ass because I noticed that especially with Zell, like it would just fail, like draw failed a lot. And even
because
when he wasn't able to draw something, it'd be like, you know, stock one protect, and I'm like, great, I get to do this 99 more fucking times. Who knows how many more?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, part of that is, you know, the higher your magic stat is, the higher your success rate for drawing. So, you know, once you want to make it a priority to get magic junction as an ability for each character or whatever.
Yep.
On top of that, though, one thing, like when I was younger, you know, there are certain like features of the game and stuff that I didn't really pay attention to. And now that, like, you know, I'm older, I understand things more. I realize that, like, they have ways of circumventing that grind that, like, you just have to, like, look for it. Like, you know, all of the GFs have, like, refine magic abilities where you can refine items into magics.
Yep.
Right.
And utilizing that, like, you know, you'll end up, after grinding for a while to level up or whatever, you'll end up with so many, like, M-stone pieces and wizard stones and shit like that. All these items that don't have much use outside of like crafting weapons, which you rarely have to do. And I mean, you can turn those into magic. You know, a lot of them will make like, oh, this makes 20 Blazagas or some shit like that.
Yep.
Like completely negating the need to sit there for, you know, 20 like, minutes drawing. From
even
enemies.
Then, like, even if you do still have to grind, there are you know, to your point, Eric, there are still ways to kind of circumvent that. For example, like, if your magic stat isn't particularly high with the character, but it is with another character, just draw with the character that has had the higher magic stat.
Yeah.
Right. And then once you get 100 of that magic, just go to your junction menu and just give all your magic to that other fucking character.
Right.
And then just spend, like, another, like, 2 to 3 minutes just stocking another 100 of that spell with like your other character that had the higher magic stat. Yeah. In fact, I actually used magic so little in Final Fantasy VIII, I did not even realize until yesterday that you could give magic to other players.
Really?
Had zero.
Holy shit.
Zero fucking idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You played wrong.
I did. I don't know. Yeah. No, apparently I played fucking more correctly than Eric because I'm the only one of the both of us that beat fucking Omega Weapon.
Yeah, yeah, shut the fuck up. My time is coming.
Shut the fuck up.
It's called.
He's like, yeah, I totally beat Omega Weapon.
So it's really
with
nice.
Invincibility on.
It's really nice and refreshing to see the $20 range.
Use that bullshit.
Yeah.
It's nice and refreshing to see the $20 range for games like this.
Yeah. Really is.
There's another game for Switch that just released today that I highly, highly recommend. I played it on PC not that long ago and I got obsessed with it for. It could have been bad if I wasn't trying to finish Sinking City. I would have put so much time into this game.
What game is it?
Borderlands. It's called Torchlight. Torchlight 2, actually.
Oh, I've heard about
this
that.
This was a PC game a while ago, and it was great. It was fantastic. They just released Torchlight 2 for Switch for $20.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the devs from Diablo 2.
Okay.
That's who they are.
Oh, I thought that was...
And it's phenomenal. The whole entire thing is just really, really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah,
I almost didn't want
I actually
to say.
Played a bit of Torchlight 2 with my buddy Nick a while back.
You don't have any other buddies. Literally, your only three friends are here.
Yes, you, fuck, you need to stop telling people
Nick
you
is
have
my
friends.
Boy. this is the same Nick that I was streaming WoW with for a while. The one that you would get passed out drunk while I was streaming with.
Nice.
Yeah. But, priority. No, we used to play Torchlight 2 back in the day, and it's cool. I mean, yeah, it's basically Diablo. Same fucking shit.
It really is. It's Diablo.
When else came out for Switch or is coming out for Switch? Divinity? Divinity
crazier.
2 or something?
Yeah, I think that is too.
The Divinity?
Divinity Original Sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right, but I don't something know. Like I don't know a lot about
also,
it.
Also, a lot of weird things are coming out for Switch now that I'm like, I'm on the eShop and I'm just looking at
Astral
now.
Chain just came out, actually.
Huh?
Astral Chain just came out,
actually. Oh, yeah. I heard
my
about
buddy,
that.
He's also
a
our
Switch
news guy on
so bad
Discord.
So that I can play that.
He's obsessed with that right now.
I heard
it's
Switch
really
just
good.
So I can play that.
I heard there's a lot of gameplay mechanics, like all at once. Very tough to get used to. But. Like
you mean
weird.
like the Spider-Man, how crazy that was? The mechanics were fucking everywhere.
It honestly, it's
but it wouldn't be a platinum game without that, right?
Yeah,
that kind
of platinum games are kind of known for just bombarding you with a bunch of
it's
shit.
Just
confusing. Like,
it kind of touches
sensory
on,
overload.
Yeah. It kind of touches on like an issue that I'm kind of having with a lot of like AAA games, like for example, like Red Dead Redemption, like. Half the game is the fucking tutorial. Like, it just...
Yeah.
I'm kind of... It may be showing my age, but it kind of makes me kind of yearn for, like, the olden days where it's been like, here's the tutorial, I get the fuck out and go play the game.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Jump,
too bad,
square,
dude.
Shoot,
you're not wrong, but
it.
This... That... It was heavily story-based. So, they built the tutorial into the story.
Yeah.
So the whole entire thing felt like a tutorial. One thing I hate about games and tutorials, I don't mind if every once in a while it's showing you what to do.
Yep.
But don't have me do something for X amount of time and then later tell me that I have to do that in a tutorial mode.
Yeah. Right.
So Far Cry Primal actually does that, and it drives me crazy every single time.
Yep.
You're collecting like the trees and you're crafting and stuff like that. And then an hour into it, or more, you'll go to this one spot that may have triggered that, and it'll just tell you that's what you have to do. I've been doing it for
you
a
would
fucking
like
hour,
control.
Dude.
Remember your bombs, but I know.
I've been using.
I've
already
killed
7,000.
You would like control for that reason, Tony. Right. Honestly, control just kind of throws you in, and it's almost, dare I say, like a Metroidvania style game, and it's like map structure and the way that it doesn't really tell you. what you should be doing. Okay. You just kind of have to figure it out.
You would also like a game called Tutorial.
Missed the definition of what a Metroidvania is.
Well, in the map structure and how the maps are laid out, it definitely feels like it at times.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Mechanics, sometimes mechanics and structure can feel similar.
And I'll go so far as to say that, for example,
it's not a Metroidvania game. I'll say that.
I think that there are some games that have mechanics that exist just to exist. Mm-hmm. And I'll go so far as to say that, like, I think in Horizon Zero Dawn, the skill tree, they could have completely fucking gotten rid of it.
Right.
Throw it out the fucking window. Mm-hmm. I think the game would have still been just as good.
Yep.
And it would have been one less thing that I had to fucking pay attention to and worry about at all times.
Right.
They could have 100% just thrown the fucking skill tree and half the skills that they actually even teach you just out the fucking window. And I will not have missed them.
Like the games that have very intense skill tree type things and skill structures. And then they change that in the next game where it's not as intense.
Yep.
Why even have it if it's not as involved as it should be?
Yep. And just get rid of it. Get three quarters of the skill tree in The Witcher 3. Fucking get rid of them. Right. Act them.
Yeah, right.
Don't fucking need them. Won't even miss them.
Gone.
Won't even notice that they're fucking gone.
Yeah. I'll take care of it right now. Gone.
Yep. Actually, you know what? Maybe even one of the spells in The Witcher 3. Fucking yeet it.
Yeet.
Get rid of the fucking push one. Never used it.
The push
one. I think I used it once in a tutorial.
Oh, I use it in
down a fucking
Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah.
There's a pushback one. Very important. To me it is.
I keep meaning to play Assassin's Creed Origins. I keep meaning to do it.
It's so good.
You have a physical copy of that.
It's Far Cry Egyptian.
Right. I can't remember if you own that digital or physical.
No, it's all. I have all the physical copies of that. Okay. Those ones. But there's a possibility
that
it may.
I keep forgetting that I actually own an Xbox.
It may.
And I can play
shit.
It.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's on Xbox. But you're like, duh, you have an Xbox.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's on Xbox.
Once I give your pro controller back.
I think I have two versions of it.
Maybe. Okay. Real quick here. Nintendo Direct happened. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Take that away.
While I normally, and I think we all, like all four of us, can kind of agree that the last couple of Nintendo Directs have been largely just snooze fest.
Yeah.
This one was actually pretty interesting because I think it touched on a lot of stuff that people have really just kind of been wanting to know more information about.
Except for Metroid 4.
I know. Holy fuck. Maybe that'll come out sometime. Yeah, right.
I don't know anything at all about this most recent one.
So. It was a lot of it was just kind of more information that they've already kind of teased before, and everyone was like, oh, I want more information on that. And Nintendo was like, no. So, like, they gave more information on Animal Crossing, which I know that patients were probably over the moon about. And I love how they waited to the end of it.
Oh, of course. They were trolling on that.
More information about Pokemon Sword and Shield,
they want people to stick around for the real good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you put the electronics all the way in the back of a store.
I'm super pumped. It was very surprising to hear that in November, they're actually coming out with Doom 64 for the Switch.
I like that.
Favorite Doom of all time. Yeah. Yep. I will absolutely take that. So Pokemon Sword and Shield had a couple new features like where you can customize your character, like completely customize your character.
Which I'm kind of cool with because in all of the other Pokemon games, you're just kind of forced into either being some dude or some chick.
I definitely want to make my character like a nerdy hipster chick with thick rim glasses.
Do it.
Yeah, like want to do
for sure.
Absolutely want to do that.
Like
are
the big
kidding
good
me?
Ones. Yeah,
that's like my thing.
I love a cute nerdy chick.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's why I love you.
Yeah, I'm a cute nerdy chick.
You're a nerdy chick.
That's right.
I forgot where I was. Pokemon Sword and Shield. They showed off a couple new Pokemon. They have a new thing called the Pokemon Camp, where you can make your Pokemon play, and you can go to other players' camps, and the way that the Pokemon interact with each other.
Sign me up.
Like that game called
Pokemon
Pets,
kind of.
It's like a game called Pets. I think that you could do that.
Maybe. Yeah. Nintendog.
Nintendog.
And then you could
Nintendo Cat.
You could hook the advanced Tamagotchis. You could hook them together so they could play with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they have like a new something about food. Curry on rice. I guess that's like a big thing.
Okay, I'm listening.
In the new region,
you had me at food.
You can give your players and Pokemon like different like curry and rice recipes, which will like kind of affect your stats and your moves.
Let's go,
stuff.
Coco Curry.
Woo!
Don't know what that was, but okay.
Yeah,
it's a Japanese style curry dish.
I'm gonna need you to calm down.
You and your fucking curry, man.
Dude, I love curry. Curry's so fucking
amazing. Dave, are you holding up a taser to Kelly right now?
Yeah. Whoa. It's under the the table. And I just have to hit a button. Ready? See? Told you.
So Banjo Kazooie.
What just happened, man? That hurt.
Banjo Kazooie dropped yesterday as part of the Smash DLC, which I was very surprised. I knew it was coming out at some point this fall. I think like everyone did, but
yeah,
Kanjo, like,
oh, when can you get Banjo Kazooie? Right now,
right now,
right now. Or just go fucking download it.
When can we get
Here's a video of someone using him. They announced that beyond the
and it's only Banjo though.
It's Banjo Kazooie.
Oh, and Kazooie.
Kanjo Bazooki.
Have you not played the game?
I mean, they
was there a game just called Banjo that I didn't know about?
Yeah, it's where you just play a banjo.
To be fair, Juicy kind of railroaded me on that because he said, hey, no, who was it? JD. JD did. He said, hey, you can play Banjo in Smash. I was like, why would you have Banjo without Kazooie? And then it just kind of dawned on me that I'm an idiot.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah.
They also announced that
everyone press F for Dave.
Beyond the four initial kind of like sets of DLC. They were coming out with even more Smash Fighters after that. And then they went on to announce the fourth Fighters pack, which is Fatal Fury.
Right.
Which I think is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I want to let everybody know before I get sidetracked that now on Best Buy, you can pre-order the Doom Steelbook. And they've got it up right now. It's beautiful. It's absolutely
like
fucking
the new
beautiful.
Doom or
Doom Eternal.
Okay.
Dude.
It looks amazing. It looks absolutely amazing. I wish I could quickly show you. I think that's all it was. I didn't look into the price or anything, but it looked amazing.
All right.
I loved it.
I get paid tomorrow.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So, just by the way, one thing I want to bring up real quick, related to Doom actually. So last week I thought that I couldn't get another free trial to PlayStation Now because I already got a free trial like 6 years ago for it.
Yeah.
So I didn't think I was eligible, but I went on and it let me get another 7-day free trial. I'm like, okay, fuck it. Why not? I ended up subscribing to a year of PlayStation Now afterwards because wow, holy shit. It works a lot better than it did 6 years ago.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like first of all, with PS4 games that are on PS Now, it gives you the option to download games like Game Pass does.
Okay.
Huh.
But I haven't even used that option because the streaming has been such a smooth experience for me. I haven't had a single, like, I haven't had any input lag, any, like, frame stutters, nothing. It's been perfect.
That's
smooth.
Surprising.
And I tried Doom, the new Doom, on PlayStation Now because if any game was a test of how well the streaming worked, how smooth it was, that is the game.
So they
and,
fixed it?
I'm terrible at it, but the game played beautifully.
Great. I'm just playing it.
It was perfect, you know, 60 frames a second, fucking looked beautiful. I didn't feel any input lag at all.
There was
I mean, the game is way too fast
for
me.
Blown to smithereens. It's great.
No, the game
I love dying in 60 frames per second.
It's true. No, the game is way too fast for me, and I don't see myself playing it anymore, but it was a good test to see how PlayStation Now works now, and holy shit, does it fucking work?
It
so
works.
That's one of the reasons I never continued it, because it just didn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. No, exactly. That was, like I said, I mean, it's been like 6 years since
Sounds
I've
like
tried
it, works
it though.
Now.
So, I mean, they've put some work into it since then.
That is actually the reason why I only play Doom on Xbox, is because my PlayStation might explode if I try to play Doom on it anymore.
Have you tried opening it yet?
Trust me, that is the first thing I tried.
Yeah.
Yep. And I cleaned out the fuck out of it. Yeah. I turned off Super Sampling. I turned off Boost Mode.
Have you tried turning off Super Saiyan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like your PlayStation's going to go into right Super Saiyan.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, yeah.
That's the first time I'm hearing this information. Wow.
Mine does that, but what I did was I put it in like a hole down there. So if it does go, I just don't hear it. I'll just pretend it didn't happen.
Yep.
And then I'll cry.
Yep.
So, I mean, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Real quick, hot takes here.
Hot take.
Super Nintendo games just launched on the Switch. So if you have a year-long subscription to Nintendo Online, or if you just are an active subscriber to Nintendo Online, you can play Super Nintendo games.
I was just going to ask if like it was Super Metroid or just like the monthly.
It's just
two.
Yeah, if you're just any active subscriber to Nintendo Online, you can have it.
I actually saw Tony playing Metroid on that. Oh,
yeah. It's available right podcast. Now.
Right now. Just question. Literally like an hour ago.
How many games are on it? And
20.
Okay, are they going to continue to put games on it?
Yes.
Yes.
Fucking good job, Nintendo. I'm loving you right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So hard. Is Earthbound on it?
No.
Not yet.
I'd say right now, like, the big hitters.
I need
are
it to be. Star Fox, I really need it to be.
Star Fox, Super Metroid, Zelda. Yeah.
Don't make me turn on my classic
Super Mario
to
World.
Play it. Please don't.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm trying to remember the fucking name of it.
Oh, gonorrhea.
Yep, yeah, that's the one.
That's it.
I was a little bit bummed that Super Mario RPG was not on it, but I had that on my SNES Classic.
Yeah, that's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, put it on there.
I'm assuming that'll come next.
Yeah. Like, well, they probably want people to continue to purchase the Classic.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty fun game.
Yep.
Jeremy used to beat
that. Oh, Breath of Fire is on there?
Oh, that's dope. Shit. I like Breath of Fire.
Nice.
Yeah, good job, GG. What are you going to do?
GG, bro.
Yep. And a little gripe I have real quick before we go is that the Blair Witch game just came out.
Oh, God. Yeah, you told me about
Xbox
that.
Xbox and PC. I was very pleasantly surprised to hear, oh, it's on Game Pass day one. I'm like, great. I'm going to go ahead and give it a try. Give it the old college try. Installed it. Started playing it. Got about 10 minutes in. Immediately shut it off. That game, for a 2019 Xbox One game, has got to be the worst-looking, buggiest fucking game I've ever played in my life. Holy crap. That game is scary, but the fucking glitches are even scarier.
Like a game where the glitches scare you more than the actual horror
crap,
element.
Dude. Shadows and textures just randomly pop in and out. They just do whatever the fuck they want. The frame rate is all over the place.
Sounds
it
about
honestly
right.
Honestly, is it, I had no idea what was happening really at one point, and just the like, and I'm not really a graphics guy,
right?
But like I said before, it's 2019. Your game when it comes out should not be looking like a first gen Xbox 360 game.
You're right.
It was embarrassing.
It should look smooth.
The character,
it should work great.
The character model for the dog, like for your dog friend, was hilariously bad.
I'm pretty sure first-gen Xbox 360 games probably looked even better than that.
Yeah. Oof. Like, you know, you remember in, like PS2 and, like, GameCube games where, like, when you get to, like, the border or the area of the game that you can't go any further. Like, it's very noticeable. Like, that is different from, like, the rest of the environment.
Right.
It has, like, that kind of, like, texture to it that, well, you're very aware that that's, like, the end of, like, where you can go.
Right.
And it's just kind of like a wall. And I'm just like, oh. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Are you kidding
like,
me,
really?
Bro?
Like,
are you kidding me, bro?
Like, even like in Skyrim, that didn't happen. It just had like an invisible wall, and it just said, "Cannot go that way." And I was just like, "Shit, better not question the game."
Even in Fallout, it never had any of the Fallouts. It never had that weird texture.
The weird thing
is,
I'm looking at the PC version of this game. Even you know, granted, it was on like high or max settings, and I'm like, "This game looks phenomenal."
Right?
What the hell? Like, where did they go so wrong?
Right. Yeah,
and I honestly, if you're gonna play the Blair Witch, play it on the fucking PC, or
don't play it at all,
or burn it.
Yeah,
or just burn
just
it.
Just play a better game,
or you know, just treat it like the Blair Witch movie and just don't bother.
Yeah. Well, guys, we are at the
yeah
the end of this.
Oh, I kind of feel a little bit bad.
Do we
bad.
Have any last word? What?
I don't know. I feel a little bit bad. I know I that I know that Eric didn't get to talk about Bloodborne, Iceborne, Battleborne.
Well, are you saving that for next time so we can have full amount?
Yeah, I mean, I
what
I was going to play it a bit before the podcast so that I could talk about it today.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually drop until midnight Eastern time. So it's not live yet. They did drop a big update today to the game that like made a bunch of little like quality of life improvements and kind of ironed out some stuff.
Right.
Yep. But the actual content of the Iceborne expansion drops tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
So next week I'll definitely have a lot of shit to say.
Can
on
you
it.
At least tell us
tomorrow?
Can you at least tell us what we have to look forward to? Like, what are the main differences gonna be
besides
like,
the ice?
Like, what added content? Besides the ice
and
being born
and being
monsters,
born.
Monsters born of ice.
Okay.
All right.
No, but, I did see
honestly,
that. What was it, Rajah?
Honestly, they
Rajah Ghul?
Yeah, they added a whole new region, a whole new area, to fight in. A bunch of new monsters, including a bunch of returning ones and a bunch of new ones. Like Rajah has been confirmed to come back, which is like a big lightning monkey bull.
Yep.
I guess
it's weird. I did see the trailer. It looked awesome.
Yeah. They're bringing back the Yon-Garuga,
sounds
which
like
is
customers.
Kind of like a fan favorite. They're bringing back Tigrex.
Yeah.
Which anybody? Yeah.
Tigrex
is
a
Tigrex
I love them,
and
but I hate
Nagakuga.
It. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
both of them are pains in the asses, and I can't wait to fight them in Monster Hunter, in Monster Hunter World. Plus a bunch of new ones. I'm fucking stoked. I mean, it's just basically whereas like with the older Monster Hunter games, like Monster Hunter Freedom 2 came out. And then Monster Hunter Freedom Unite was 2, but with like an extra like 2/3 of a game worth of content at the end.
Right.
And then Monster Hunter 3 was, you know, its own game. Then 3 Ultimate had like an extra like 1/2 to 2/3 of a game tacked to the end. Iceborne is basically them taking that same business model, but turning it into an expansion instead. Mm-hmm. So like when you first look at the price tag for it, it's like $40 for an expansion. Holy shit, that sounds expensive.
Right.
But you have to consider that right now the game is $20.
Right.
So the game plus the expansion is a full-priced game. When
right.
they did this in the past, it was a full-priced game.
So if
and
you
if you already
to...
owned it, yeah. like it, as myself, who already owned Monster Hunter Freedom 2, I had to spend another $60 to get Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, whereas this time I only had to spend $40 to get the expansion. So it's actually... Like, from a newcomer coming in, it doesn't seem like a great deal. You know, $40 for an expansion, holy shit, that's expensive. But it makes sense considering how much content is actually being added.
Just wait until next year when Monster Hunter World Ultimate comes out.
Right. Can you explain to me, what's G-Rank? What's that?
G-Rank? Okay, well, in this game it's called Master Rank, not G-Rank. But basically, it's just the next stage up. Whereas, you know how in the base game, you have low rank quests, then you have high rank quests. G rank, or in this case, master rank, is harder than high rank. Not just in the sense that like monsters take more damage to kill, but they actually will have like different fighting styles and stuff. Like they'll have new moves and stuff added to their roster once they get to that.
Basically,
point.
G rank stands for like get
go
good
fuck
rank.
Yourself,
yeah.
Frank.
Yeah,
yeah.
It
stands
for
rank,
good
exactly.
rank. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It ranks. Yeah. It stands for the G string
so,
rank.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's basically, you know, it's just continuing the gameplay loop of Monster Hunter of fight harder monsters, get better gear, fight harder monsters, get better gear. It's just a extra add on to that loop. You know, makes the loop bigger.
Yep. Right. Okay.
Makes what the poop G-rank bigger. Is. Got it.
That's good. That's good.
So
to
you
know.
Like so like for example, if you're fighting like a the Wanganga or the Kongalala or whatever, you have like the low rank and then you have like
the
high rank
and
then you have the master rank and then you have like the Sekiro rank.
Oh, okay.
Right? And when you're fighting like a giant fucking bloodthirsty monkey.
Right.
See that? They yeah, should they should make all monsters as hard as the monkey in Sekiro.
Jesus. No thanks.
It's a good way to make Eric never play the game
yeah.
again.
But then again, if I could play Sekiro with my Monster Hunter gear, it probably wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could take at least a few more hits, maybe.
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 Yeah.
Before you get destroyed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm still waiting for I'm still waiting for when you go back to Sekiro and you fight that monkey. And I want to hear your
stupid monkey.
I want to hear you report back to me and tell me that I overreacted at that monkey.
Will visit Sekiro one day and you'll hear all about it when I do.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to head out. Thank you very much for joining us and
by the way, join our Discord. It's super awesome and super fun, and if you don't join it, you're basically dead to us. Sorry.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
Dank memes.
That's
it.
That's the way it be.
Yep.
September 28th, we're going to be down in Machias for the 3D Games anniversary.
Yes.
Bonanza.
We will be doing a live podcast from there. He said his internet is good enough. We will have two cameras and no Eric. So yep. I do apologize, Eric.
No, it's going to be great. Say it like it's a fun thing. Two cameras.
Oh, good.
No Eric.
Yeah. Woo! It's going to be great.
Fuck you, Eric.
I love it.
And we're going to have a Smash tournament.
Welcome, guys.
Yes. We do have to figure out next week's podcast. That's going to be a little bit tricky since I'm leaving on a Thursday night around 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So we will figure it out. If not, you guys
continue to do it by yourself. We might be back with you on a Tuesday. Wow. I don't know.
That's I'm going to have to sit this one out.
The lights turned off.
The lights just turned off. That's our cue. Carrie just went to bed. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yep, later, guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to go play Final Fantasy.
Peace out. Hell yeah.